This morning I want to talk about evangelism. And I want to use the image of salt. Salt is a very popular image in the Bible. Jesus mentions it, and the Father mentions salt. Salt is a good thing. Now, you can see this picture up here. I didn't realize that when I was researching this. But Judas, he's the one in the middle there. And apparently he's spilling a container of salt with his wrist. And so this is where the old saying came from. You spill salt, you have bad luck. I don't know, maybe a bunch of us spilled salt or something. I don't know what happened. Anyway, the world has some crazy ideas. And so what people also say is, you would throw the salt over your left shoulder to keep away the enemy. Crazy idea. Because the left side apparently is the bad side and the right side is the good side. So anyway, that's where that came from. And I wasn't aware of that, but that's very interesting. At one time, salt in the ancient world was worth more than gold. Pure salt was worth more than gold. And of course it was very valuable. We need salt for our lives. We need salt to live. We need salt for our cells to talk to each other and for cells to work individually. Very important. If you go to the hospital, a lot of times if you get IV, you will get IV in a salt solution. Maybe a bill recently. Salt solution, saline solution, because salt's very important for life. A wise person once said, for healing, three types of salt are necessary. Sometimes sweat. Sometimes you got to work through something. Sometimes tears. Sometimes you just need to grieve something and get over it. And sometimes you just need to go to the ocean and relax. You just need to get to the sea. But there's three types of salt that really help for healing. The other thing I discovered while researching this is that if you add salt to food that you're cooking, the flavors will come out and fill the house, fill the area where you are. It does something with the moisture, and the aromas, the fragrances of the food come out and fill the house because you add salt to that. Now, I wasn't aware of that, but that's very interesting. And that makes me, and that led me to a verse. If I could get it. Oh, I see. I'm using my phone. This is a verse from 2 Corinthians 2:15. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. The fragrance of the knowledge of Him. And this is what we want to do. We want to spread the fragrance of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Not just information, not just data, but the fact that we know Him, we have a relationship with Him, and so we need salt in our lives to activate that flavor, that aroma. And so I'm going to explain what I'm talking about as we go through the message today. There's three types of salt that I want to talk about. And I hope these are easy to remember. There is the eternal salt, there is internal salt, and there is external salt. The internal or eternal salt is our concept of eternity. It has to do with faith and hope that we know we will be with the Lord forever, that there is a forever, that we don't just cease to be. A lot of people in the world believe that when it's over, it's over, but that's just not true. And so the sense of eternity is very important. It flavors life. It gives us hope. It's an anchor beyond the grave. It's salt for our lives. And then there's internal salt, what has to do with discipleship. And when Jesus said, if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? He was talking about discipleship and being pure, pure disciples, without any contaminations in there. And then there's external salt, which if the other two pieces of salt or bits of salt are in place, then we are able to really be effective in reaching people. And I know it's our heart's desire to reach our families, friends, coworkers, people that do not yet know the Lord. And it's certainly a favorite topic of mine and a favorite activity of mine. And I know Kim spends hours on the internet arguing with crazy people from all over the world and sharing Jesus with them and sharing over the internet. And I think that's great. Me, that would be frustrating for me. I like to talk to people face-to-face, but it doesn't matter. What we want to talk about is sharing the truth. So I'm going to go to point number one, eternal salt. You know, I think about Billy Graham, who passed away recently, and what a witness he was. You know, he always had a good thing to say. He never had a negative thing to say. He was not perfect, but if you get a chance, I suggest you go to YouTube. If you haven't seen the video of Kathy Gifford, who is the very famous anchor lady and co-host on TV programs, who's been a Christian for many years, and she talks about her relationship with Billy and her faith, and it's powerful. She just preaches out a strong, it's great. So you need to check that out. And that's a bit of salt right there. You know, that was salt for the world to see right there. And that's a flavor. And so a good idea to take a look at that if you get a chance. And so we read in Leviticus 2:13 that the Lord commanded the people of Israel, season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. Salt was to be added to all the offerings. Now, you might ask, well, why? Why would they add salt to their offerings, especially the ones they were going to burn? Well, salt was considered to be eternal, for one thing. Pure salt does not lose its flavor. It continues on and on. God considered it to be very long-lasting. And also, it was supposed to resist fire. But the salt of the covenant is explained in two other verses. Number 18, 19, whatever is set aside from the holy offerings the Israelites present to the Lord, I give to you and your sons and daughters as your regular share. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord for both you and your offspring. So God was talking about taking care of the Levites, the priests, but he mentions the everlasting covenant of salt. The Lord has an everlasting covenant with the nation of Israel. No matter what you might hear, he has not given up on them. He has an everlasting covenant, and he symbolizes that with salt, because salt is long-lasting. Also, in 2 Chronicles 13, don't you know that the Lord, the God of Israel, has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever by a covenant of salt? So this was spoken by Abijah, who was the king of Judah at the time. He was a king, but he was declaring that the nation of Israel, the kingship of Israel, is given to them by an everlasting covenant of salt. So salt represents eternity. And so for us, we want to have eternal mindsets. Sometimes, you know, we go about our daily lives and we're just thinking a few minutes ahead. Oh, the car is doing weird things. Oh, I can't find a parking place. Oh, I'm having trouble. And a lot of times we forget about the concept of eternity, but it's so important to have an eternal mindset. I like this in Leviticus where it says, add salt to all your offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. So if you think about your life and you think about what you do daily, there's some main areas. First one, of course, is relationships. Your main priority is in your relationships. So think about it. Say your parents, you're raising your children. And if we think, you know, whatever we do, whatever we say, however we raise them, has eternal consequences. I like the passage in Hebrews 2, where it says, in bringing many sons to glory, he made the author of their salvation perfect. God was preparing people for glory. I think we should have the same mindset if we're raising, you know, raising children, that we raise them for glory. We're raising them for eternity. We're raising them for an eternal home and not just temporary things. Or our friends. We want to maybe think in eternal ways. Ministry. We all have gifts. We all have burdens. These are the things the Lord wants us to use because these will matter for eternity. The things that God has gifted us with and has moved us into using matter for eternity. The other day I had a Jehovah's Witness come to the door Tuesday morning. I always kind of enjoy that sort of thing. I was in a hurry. I had to get to work, but I invited him in, and Esther, my wife, she doesn't like the idea, but I invited him in anyway. And he wanted to hand me a pamphlet for their Easter program, which they do every year. And I said, well, I'm not going to take your stuff unless you take my stuff. And he said, well, what is your stuff? I said, well, I'll show you. So what I do is I always have information around just to be prepared. It's good to be prepared. I wouldn't suggest you do this. I'm just saying this is something that I enjoy doing. But I have a list of all the prophecies that the Watchtower Society has made, the dates, and they've all been wrong. They missed them. And so I showed him this list of prophecies. He said, yeah, I know they were wrong. What? That's the first time I ever heard that. What? They're wrong? He admitted, yes, we were wrong. They were wrong. And we've revised them. We're changing them. Oh, really? You can't change prophecies. I don't know of anything in the Bible, any word given that has been revised, has been changed, been updated. You can't do that. I said, so, well, that's cool. I mean, I'm glad to hear that. But I said, are you going to be updating your doctrines? And maybe. They said, we're always interested in light. What about Jesus? Is he God or not? And he says, no, he's not. And he wanted a bunch of verses. And I said, well, you know, I got a lot of verses for you, but I really got to get going. And so he was mad. He threw the paper down and he slammed the door. He slammed the door and he left. Usually they get the door slammed on them. He slammed my door on me. Anyway, I enjoy that sort of thing. I wouldn't suggest, if you're not ready for that, then don't try that. Because they argue about words, and we all have different definitions for the same words, and that's why it's so confusing. Like the term for death, like I was saying, for them, when you're done, you're done. But for us, we continue. We go on. There's an eternal concept there. So when you argue about words, different definitions are very confusing. And you can go around in circles for hours and probably not get anywhere. And maybe, you know, it could be a little dangerous. So make sure you're ready for something like that. If in your giving, if you have an eternal mindset in your giving, like today, we'll realize that people are going to be affected for eternity, like even in Thailand. And so we need to think about that when we're giving. Or work. You know, Jesus said, work for food that does not spoil, but that food that lasts for eternity, endures to eternal life. And so even when we're working, and maybe you don't even enjoy your job, but think about it in eternal concepts. Think about what you're doing, your attitude, how you share things. And so this is all salt. This is all eternal salt. Even your free time. You know, I curl on Tuesday nights, and we're in the playoffs now, and so it's getting pretty intense. Anyway, one of my teammates the other day, he asked me, do you have life insurance? I said, no, I don't, but I have eternal life insurance. And I think that's a little more important than better, although I'd like to have life insurance too. But I do have eternal life insurance. And, you know, oh, I see, oh. And then he didn't bring it up after that. But just a little bit of salt. You know, not enough to annoy somebody, but enough, you know, to put a little piece of eternity in there. And I think it's important. But if they ask, you know, it's really good if somebody asks. Always be ready to give the reason for the hope that's in you to anybody who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. And so it's important. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to preach to them, but I want to add salt. I want to be there. Okay. Eternal salt. This is a wonderful verse in Ecclesiastes that Solomon wrote about eternity. Very wise, very insightful. He says, he, being God, has made everything beautiful in its time, He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So eternity is in there. I don't think we could even conceive of the concept of eternity if there wasn't an eternity. I don't think we could conceive the concept of a God if there wasn't God. I don't think it's possible, although that's pretty deep. And so I don't want you to get a headache thinking about that one. But the concept of eternity is in there. So if you're sharing little bits of salt, little bits of eternal salt with people, that's going to click. That's like prophecy. That's something that's going to agree with their spirit. And so very important that Solomon noticed that. You know, eternity flavors life. Eternity is a flavor. But, of course, a lot of people in the world deny that. They say, when you're done, and we might as well have a good time. We might as well party now, because when it's over, it's over. And that's a lot of the thinking in the world. Paul addressed this in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained if the dead are not raised? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there's nothing after we're gone, let's party. He agreed with that. He said, okay, let's eat and drink, because if there's nothing, there's nothing. But that's not true. Why would he fight wild beasts? Why would he get into all kinds of dangerous situations unless there was something more? There was an eternal purpose for what he did. So eternal salt, very important. You know, people get bored and they make foolish choices, fleshy choices. But the Bible says there's a judgment. After that, it is destined for man to die once and then the judgment. So there is a judgment. There is something coming afterwards. The world doesn't want to agree with that, but that's the way it is. If we sow to please our sinful nature, we will reap destruction. But if we sow to please the Spirit, we reap eternal life. Eternal life. And so it's eternal. Eternal mindset is so important. And probably most of the time we don't really think about it. We don't wake up laughing and jumping and saying, yes, I'm going to keep going forever. I don't think many of us, well, I don't. Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't. Even watching the Olympics, the people that win the medals, and especially the gold medals, they're so happy, so excited. It's such an earth-shattering event for them. And the truth is, those things do not last for eternity. I don't think they're going to be wearing those medals wherever they go after that. But having said that, it can be a great witness if you are a believer and if you do win something, if you do well in the world, and you give the glory to the Lord, that's a different story. I think that's very important. You can win a gold medal for the Lord for eternal purposes. And I think that's probably a lot better. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So as soon as you believe, you have that eternal life. As soon as you become a believer, you're not going to pass away. You're not going to die. The one who believes in will not die. He has eternal life right now. So if you're one of those people, one of those groups who like the Jehovah's Witnesses, I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but they believe it's over. When you're dead, you're dead. There's soul sleep until God raises you later sometime. So the truth is, as soon as you become a believer, you have eternal life, and there is no shutting down. There is no stopping. It goes and goes forever and ever and ever. You will go forever and ever, and it does not stop. Amen. All right. Point number two, internal salt. So we're talking about discipleship. Discipleship. And a very important, the concept of purity, not being contaminated. There's a spot southwest of the Dead Sea where they used to collect the salt, where the best salt came from. I'd love to see the Dead Sea one day. The best salt. But some of the salt was contaminated. Whenever the salt had little impurities in it, then the flavor would not last. Then it would become bland after a while. It would lose that flavor. So it had to be the very best salt, the very purest salt. And it's the same for us. If there's impurities in our lives, little things or maybe big things that are there, they're contaminants. They cause us to lose our flavor. We have a tough time sharing flavor, being salt in the world, if there's contaminants, if there's things in there. And we all know what they are, and we all have things. I mean, none of us are perfect, but the concept of contaminant is very important. So Jesus said in Mark 9, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves. Have salt in yourself, internal salt, and be at peace with each other. Be at peace with each other. So impure salt can cause problems. He had actually, when he said this, he would actually talk about anyone who leads one of these little ones to sin. It would be better if they were thrown into the ocean with something tied around them. Because he says, impurities cause problems. The disciples had been arguing about who is the greatest, who will be the greatest, and they started fighting about it. Revealed that there was a problem, that there was something in them that shouldn't have been there. And they argued, and they lost their peace. Jesus said, have peace with each other. Wherever there's discord and problems and arguing, you can bet there's some impurities. There's some little things in there that are causing issues, or maybe big things. I don't know. Really, salt is meant to purify, but impure salt does the opposite. It actually contaminates things. Pure salt purifies. Impure salt contaminates things. Jesus also mentioned the same thing in Matthew 5 and Luke 14. Now, I don't know if he said the same thing three times or if he said it once and there was a whole bunch of things that the different writers recorded. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all recorded this passage. But he also talked about other things. He said, pure disciples do not fall away. They do not fall away. They are not proud. They have peace. They are salt and light. They're able to count the cost. Very important to know what you're getting into and go ahead with it. They maintain their zeal. They maintain that zeal. They don't give up. They don't get tired. They don't want to stop. They maintain their first love in Revelations 2:4, and they never give up. Never give up. Those are pure disciples. So these are people, if you know people like this, you can bet they're fairly pure. There's not a lot of things that are bothering them. There's not a lot of things that are in their lives. And especially, they hold to Jesus' teachings. John 8:31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free. I think we all know people that are fairly free in the Lord. Sometimes, and I'll be honest, sometimes I find really free people kind of annoying. And that's my problem. That's not their problem. I think it's great. If they love the Lord, you know, if they're laughing, if they're dancing, if they're positive, if they're sharing the Lord all the time, you know, that's great for them. That's my problem if it bothers me. A free person has eternal life. A free person has internal life, abundant life. A free person is free. Freedom is salt. You know, freedom is salt in the world. No matter how it affects you, a free person is salty. Do you remember the story? Are you familiar with the story of David when the ark came into Jerusalem and he danced in his underwear before the ark? He danced. And later, his wife, said to him, how the king has distinguished himself today in front of those slave girls. And he said, you know, I will be even wilder than this. I will be even more, undistinguished than this. But in front of these slave girls, I will be held in high honor. And so she actually never had children again after that. She was barren after that. But he was free at that point, and he was loving it. It bothered her, but he was free. And so I thought that was a very good example of internal salt and being free. The last point is external salt. Now, this is the fun part. This is the practical part where we get to share that salt. We get to give it to the world. We get to tell our friends and our neighbors and our family members who do not yet know, or our coworkers, about the Lord. This is a very famous, familiar verse. Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I like the word conversation there. You need to talk to people. Pretty hard to tell anybody anything if we're not actually talking to people. So it's a good idea. You know, have lunch, have coffee, do stuff like that. Meet with people and talk with people. Very important. It's a lot of fun, too. You know, I like it even in the mall. We were in Calgary yesterday shopping, and I just like talking to people I don't know for some reason. I just enjoy that. Maybe because I can get away when I want to. Goodbye. See you later. I guess. I just enjoy that. So that you will always know how to answer everyone. Season with salt. You know, salt needs to be pure and penetrating to get in there, to get into their lives, to touch people's hearts. Maybe sometimes painful. The truth is often painful, but also healing. Salt is also healing. And so we need to open things up before they can get better. Another familiar passage in 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer, again, because people are looking for answers, to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. The hope that you have. Apparently, if they're asking, they've noticed something about you. Maybe you're one of those annoying free people, and maybe they've noticed something about you. But do this with gentleness and respect. That's a great line, gentleness and respect. Because you're loving them, you're not condemning them, you're not judging them, you're not saying, you know, what's your problem, you're going to hell. But you're loving it, and you want them to know the truth. All right, hope. Hope is eternal life. Hope is internal, and hope is external. Hope lies in the future. Hope lies inside of you. And hope, hopefully, can be shared with somebody else. So it is eternal, internal, and external. The other thing that salt does is it causes thirst. Causes people to be thirsty. One of the things that salt does, if you eat a lot of potato chips or french fries or something like that, oh, you might be, with these pictures, you might get a little hungry. You might be ready for lunch by the time this message is done. But Jesus said in John 4, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a springing of water welling up to eternal life. So one of the other reasons for telling people or using salt is to get people thirsty. They need to want to drink, and they need to want to drink the living water, the living water that Jesus offers. All right. And so I want to just give you a few practical points about sharing the Lord and adding salt. First of all, of course, check yourself. Do you have eternity in your heart, like Solomon said? Is that in there, the concept of eternity? Do you think about that daily? And are you a pure disciple, or are there some contaminants in there? Are there some things in there? So the first two things, the eternal salt and internal salt, have to be in place before we can really be effective with the external salt, with sharing the gospel with people. So number one, obviously, I like to start with the concept of eternity. If you start with the concept of Jesus died for you and you'll go to hell if you don't receive him, you're jumping the gun, and people have a tough time with that concept if you hit them full force with the gospel. In fact, a lot of people don't even know what the gospel is. You have to ask them, and they say they know, but they don't actually know. So actually, a good place to start is eternity. What do you think? What's going to happen when you pass on? And if they think there's something else, great, then you have something to work with. If they don't, then you have to start there. Then I like to talk about the concept of God. A lot of people believe there's a God, but he's kind of impersonal, kind of vague, kind of abstract, maybe kind of vacant, not really personal, not really there, just God. A lot of people are okay with that. So you need to find out. And then number three is a relationship. So this God, he's a personal God. He's real. He wants to talk with you. He wants to walk with you. People don't really know that, or don't know that that's possible. But it is possible. And so this God, he is personal. He's real. Then point number four, then we can start talking about the gospel. This personal God has a name This is what he did. This is how much he loves you. And you can go from there. And so you don't have to follow this pattern. I'm just saying, I've done this for a lot of years. I mean, every day I talk to people right off the street there. For 7 years I did that. And these are things that I've noticed anyway about people. A lot of times people are the same, but, you know, some people are different. And you would know better about who you're talking to. So now we get into the gospel message. And there's a few points in the gospel message that I find are kind of common. There's an emptiness in people. People that do not know the Lord are empty. There's a hole there. They're missing something. They're not fulfilled, even if they're doing well, business or life or whatever it is, even if they're doing well, there's an emptiness there. And they know that, and they admit that. Have you found the answer? No. You know, there's a few songs with that line. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Quite a few songs like that. And so people are searching. So then from the emptiness, we can also agree that we all fall short, that we all miss it, that we all make mistakes. You know, I ask people, if the world was full of people like you, would it be a perfect place? If the world was full of Kim Boschmans, would it be a perfect place? Oh, okay. I should ask somebody else. Yeah. I mean, if the world was full of me, would it be a perfect place? No. No, it would not. And people would agree to that. Because we all have issues. We all fall short. We all miss it. And we can't fix ourselves. We can't fix those problems ourselves. We can't erase major problems. And we can't get ourselves to heaven by ourselves, that's for sure. And so, and then the other point is, we've been bailed out of jail. I love that example, where if you're in trouble, you get locked up for doing something really bad, and you're there for a long time, and the bail is set at billions of dollars, and you cannot afford to pay that. But somebody comes in, pays that, and not only pays it, but takes your place in jail at the same time, and you get to go free. And that's what he did. And so then you can move into the gospel. If you ask people what the gospel is, a lot of times they don't actually know what it is. So you need to explain it to them. And you need to cause some thirst and some desire, some hunger there. Amen. You see the French fries. All right. This last slide is an actual a card that I carry in my wallet. I carry some of these, so it's a little dirty. But on the left side of that picture is the religion side. I love to share these with people. The religion side, where we see a person there who's not happy, and we see the cloud over top, which is supposed to be God. I drew these a long time ago. Maybe I'll redo them. I don't know. That's supposed to be God, and he's not happy. And you can see there's an arrow. There's a line moving up from the person. This represents self-effort, where when we try to do it ourselves in religion, when we try to gain points, gain favor, do anything by ourselves, turn over new leaves or whatever it is, we don't quite make it. It doesn't reach. It doesn't connect with God. And so there's a gap. It doesn't make it. On the other side, on the far right side, is the Christian side, the faith side, the truth side, whereby we see that God is happy and the person is happy, and the line coming down reaches all the way, connects. There's a connection made there. Because it's not what we do on the left side, it's what God does, and we show that on the right side. So it's a very simple drawing, but I give that to people, and hopefully they hang on to it. I don't know if they do, but hopefully they hang on to it, and they keep that image, especially maybe here or maybe in the heart, and I hope they do hang on to that. It's just a simple way to explain the difference between religion and faith, between what we try to do and what God has done already for us. In the middle, there's a picture of a heart. On the left side of the heart, it's dark. It's black. So the black heart represents where we are as unsaved people. We're black. Our hearts are dark. We have no hope. without the Lord. Then there's a cross in the middle. The left side of the cross is white, is pure. Jesus went to the cross even though he was pure. He was white. He was clean. He didn't have to go, but he went for us. He did it for us, not for himself. Although he did buy himself a bride whom we are and we belong to him. And so he went to the cross. So on the right side of the cross now is black because all the blackness that we had moves into the cross, moved onto the cross, moved on to him. He took all of that darkness. And so on the right side, the heart is white. The heart is pure and clean because that's what he's done. And that's where we're at after receiving him. And so it's a wonderful thing. It's just an image that I like to share with people, and hopefully they remember that. And it's simple. You could draw it out. You could do whatever you want with that. Anyway, I enjoy that sort of thing. The other thing that salt does, and we know in Canada, is that it melts ice. Amen? And so really, isn't that what we want to do? There's a lot of cold hearts. There's a lot of coldness out there. There's a lot of ice and frost in a spiritual sense. And we want to spread the good news, spread the truth, and see some hearts melt, see some softening happening. And it's a good time of year to do it. I'm so glad that winter is done. But that's a great image. And so we're gonna pray this morning. Thank you for listening. And if anybody would like prayer, I would love to pray for anybody. Or Pastor Bill, if you don't mind praying, if anybody feels like maybe they want a boost. Maybe you want a boost. Maybe you want to be able to share. You want to be salty. But maybe you're having trouble with the eternity concept. Maybe you don't know the Lord today, and I would love to pray with you if you do not know the Lord Jesus. Maybe you have an eternity issue. Maybe doubts are creeping in. Maybe there's a few contaminants in your life, a few impurities that you'd like to deal with. Or maybe you just want to be more effective sharing the Lord. And probably you have family members, friends, coworkers that really, really need the Lord. Of course, everybody needs the Lord. But maybe there's people that you know that are ready, you think they're ready, and you need to know what to say. Anyway, this is something I enjoy. I know Pastor George has been sharing the message of the cross, and that's been great. And so these are things we want other people to know about as well. Amen. Sarah, did you want to, maybe we'll do another song also. I'm going to pray, and then maybe My Redeemer Lives. Are you okay with that? All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for a chance to know you, to walk with you and talk with you. But, Lord, we want others to know you and walk with you and talk with you. We want others to be free in you and to release those burdens and to live full, abundant lives, Lord. I thank you for eternity. I thank you that we will be with you forever. Lord, we want those folks also to be with you forever where you are. Help us if there's any impurities, anything in our lives, Lord, that shouldn't be there. We just pray that you would reveal them, help us remove those so that we can be salt and light in this world, that we can be a blessing, and that we can be healing, that we can reveal truth, that we can purify, that we can melt things that need to be melted, Lord. You've called us to be all these things. Thank you for the image of salt. I thank you for actual physical salt, which is good, but I thank you spiritually that you want us to be out there bringing life, bringing flavor, releasing the fragrance of the knowledge of you, Lord Jesus, because that's what we want to do, release that into the world and let others smell that, notice that, and ask us, what's the deal? Why the hope? Why the joy? Why the freedom? Oh, Lord, I just pray even today that some people will ask that question of us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen.